Welcome to another episode of 20s Toolbox here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Grace Mansfield. Tonight, I've got a very special episode planned to kick off your February with a little extra love, a little honesty, and maybe a few questions you've been too afraid to ask until now. Tonight, you're going to get some insights and answers to all the burning relationship questions you might have, whether you're in a relationship, you have family and friendships that are hard to manage. Or let's be honest, maybe you're just like me and trying to make sense of it all because relationships are hard in your 20s. Overall, I hope this episode will give you some guidance. Speaking of guidance, it's time to introduce my guest for tonight who will provide just that. Dr. Amy Siborski is a licensed psychologist and the director of Lehigh Valley Center for Child and Family Development. Her practice offers therapy services to individuals ages 3 through adult with a variety of concerns. She also is co-director of Pieces of Mind, a community hub housed in the same building as LVC CFD that offers programming to individuals of all ages with the goal to enhance mental, emotional, social, and physical well-being. Thanks for being here, Amy. I'm so excited to talk with you tonight.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Before we jump into the questions, would you be able to just share a little bit about yourself, your experience, and what you do?
As you mentioned, I run a private practice. The majority right now of my clients are college age individuals and young adults. I do see kids as young as 6. I see lots of teenagers that are going through difficult life transitions. I primarily work with individuals that are struggling with anxiety, relationship concerns, transition of life issues. Like one of the big things I'm working on now with a lot of clients is I have high school students that are transitioning to college and college students that are going to be transitioning into life or grad school. And so we work a lot on those different things and the struggles that go along with that, including relationships and stuff like that. Before I was running this practice, I was full-time faculty at DeSales University. And so I worked a lot with college students then as well as a psychology professor. So I'm very passionate about helping out college-age students and young adults trying to figure things out. I was there once too. I try to keep it, keep relevant to the things that are going on and, just help support people.
That's an awesome mission. Congrats on an incredible career so far.
Thank you.
So let's jump into the questions. So these questions have come from I've generated them myself, some of my friends, mutual connections, just all to talk about relationships in your 20s. So to start off, in your opinion, what does healthy communication in a relationship look like? And how do you kind of set boundaries in a relationship in a world where everything has become really digitized? I feel like a lot of the messages we send back and forth are text messages, Instagram, TikTok. So, in your opinion, what does healthy communication look like?
So I think, in relationships as a whole, good healthy communication is communication that allows you to kind of share your thoughts and feelings with another person without feeling that weird gut feeling that you get when something isn't right. I think when you have hesitation to share something in a relationship, and this could be, romantic relationships, it could be friendships. If you feel like you can't share something with someone or it feels uncomfortable when you're trying to share it, that might be a sign that there needs to be some changes in your relationship with that person, whether that's figuring out a way to speak with them more openly about how you're feeling, or to try to figure out, okay, is this a relationship I need to distance myself from, or is this something that maybe I need to take a step back from altogether because I feel uncomfortable when I'm trying to communicate my wants and needs and things that are going on for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if you can't be 100% honest with a person or feel comfortable in any relationship, whether that's romantic, friendships, family, then there's kind of a like a roadblock there in a sense.
A lot of the different questions and things like that, as I was looking at them, I was thinking, okay, there's a lot of, I can go in like my professional end of things, but then some of it too is like, if you kind of know when a relationship doesn't have good communication because of the way you're left feeling after you have a conversation with somebody. And I am very big on trusting your gut instinct because I think a lot of the time you're right in those circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. In an age where I feel like in your 20s, we all have very busy lives, right? And unfortunately, it might only get worse from here as we transition into work and all these different things that we'll be doing. But how do you balance spending time with someone in a relationship and keeping up with your own life and hobbies? I know for me right now, that just seems astronomically difficult.
I think sometimes that depends on the relationship. And, you know, there's sometimes people will be in a relationship and they're very comfortable having that person that is their partner as like their best friend that they want to spend a ton of time with. But I really find it very important to, like, as much as you can, try to find some sort of autonomy, whether that's a few minutes a day by yourself or like finding a hobby where like you go do like a yoga class or, you know, you go to the gym or something like that that's separate from your partner. I even have clients and things that are like, you know, every day I say, like, you know, I'm going to take my 10 minutes. I have one client that calls this time her enrichment time, and it makes me laugh every time because I think it's great. And she's like, I just go and I like watch my TikToks or something like that for a few minutes. And that gives me space and it gives me time to process my day. And, you know, I think even if you're getting that little bit of time, that's great. That being said, I really do think it's important to try to find your own interest in and things like that. It doesn't mean you can't share in them sometimes with a partner, but I think it's also good to have time where you like go see other friends and have lunch or, you know, find some way to kind of do things where you're not always with each other. And plus, that makes the relationship more exciting in some ways, because then when you come back together, you have something to share. You're not with each other all the time. You'd be like, oh, guess what I did? And this is what I learned. And I think that that's really important too. And I think it strengthens a relationship when you can be happy together and also happy away from each other for a period of time.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I know me and my roommate, we've been best friends since we started college, and we usually spend every waking moment together. But we kind of noticed the same thing you were talking about. Like, we're both involved in the same activities, and then we come back to the room at night, or we go to dinner, and we're like, well, what did you do today? And she's like, well, same things you did. So I like that she has a job. So sometimes she's at work, and I'm doing schoolwork, and then at night, you know, we can come back together and share about our day. So I 100% agree that it helps strengthen the relationship.
Yeah, and that's funny that you say that too with you and your roommate, because that's how my roommate and I were in college. And actually, we just met for lunch over the weekend. She lives in Delaware, so I live in Pennsylvania. And we just met over the weekend at King of Prussia Mall and had lunch together. We've been out of college for a while. I'll just leave it at that. And but like we lived together for 3 years and spent like a lot of time together. And I think one of the reasons that we are still as close as we were, though, is because we did take time from each other sometimes and had things to talk about. And, you know, she's like my sister at this point, which is awesome.
I hope my roommate and I stay friends like that forever because she's the greatest.
That's awesome.
Taking a little bit of a turn here, trustworthiness in a relationship is a really good quality to have. I know for me, it's if a relationship isn't built on trust, then it might eventually crumble. But speaking about how trust can be broken, do you think it's possible to rebuild a relationship after that trust has been broken? And maybe conversely, have you noticed any signs that people may be able to look out for if they suspect their partner may not be completely honest with them?
I think in terms of trust, you know, I think it depends upon the level of how the trust was broken. You know, definitely in relationships, like, you know, if somebody is cheating or doing something else where they're not being able to be open and honest with you about it, you have to look at a deeper level of like what's causing that in the relationship. And is that going to be something that's redeemable? And how do you do that? Now, you know, when this happens in relationships with people that have been in a relationship for long term, maybe are out of college, that sort of thing. Like, you know, people do go for counseling and relation, and even I actually have had some college students that have gone for like relationship counseling. I've had a client that's brought her boyfriend in for sessions before, things like that, just to like, hey, we had this issue, how do we work on it? And I think, you know, it all comes down to that communication again. Like, if that person you can trust that they're talking with you openly and everything like that, that's different. But I don't know, there's sometimes like I kind of feel like the cheating one, like that broken trust, like I don't know if there's coming back from that. And I don't know a lot of people that have successfully done that too. And it can happen. I'm not saying it can't. I think in that type of situation too, you really need to make sure that you're taking time separately to like reassess and be like, okay, why did this fracture happen in our relationship? And where do we go from here? And is this something that I'll be able to get over that my partner did it? And you know, are they going to be able to be what I need them to be in this relationship so that I can trust them again? And it depends upon what the situation is. I think signs to look out for. I don't know if you've ever seen the guy on TikTok who has like the red flag. He like runs with a red flag when he sees like,
Yes, I love him.
and like he has like green flags too for people. Like he'll show a video and stitch it. One way of figuring out like a sign is like if you do have close friends outside that relationship and you can be like, hey, what about this? You can talk through them with it and be like, oh, they'll be like, yeah, no, that seems shady. Like, I don't know about that. I have a lot of clients come to me with relationship things. They'll bring things up, and like, I will never, just because it's not my role to be like, no, you should break up with this person. But I'll be like, okay, well, what do you think about that? Like, is that a behavior that you would do to that person? Or is that how you would communicate something if this was the situation you were in? So I think kind of perspective taking is a really good one to kind of figure out if there's a sign happening, is like, how can I look at what's going on here and put myself either in that person's shoes? What would a friend say about this happening? And I think this goes along too with like as you were talking about, like things being like digitized, like on dating apps and stuff like that. It is so hard to figure out, you know, how honest are people are being at the beginning of a relationship when you're texting back and forth. And like, I think there's definitely signs there sometimes, but I think it's a little bit harder now to figure it out until you actually meet someone. I've heard some interesting stories. Luckily, I'm not part of the dating app age, so I didn't have to deal with that. I hope I never have to. I always say to clients, I am so glad that I never have to date again, because it was one of the hardest things, you know, to deal with. And I think, you know, it's really just getting support from other people and trying to look at patterns of behavior and seeing like, okay. And if people do something one time, then you kind of have to look out and see if they're going to do it again. Like, I think that's kind of checking in and seeing if it's continuously happening.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also really agree with, I've often in my past relationships looked to my friends and be like, well, have you noticed anything? Like specifically with one of my ex-boyfriends, I've even friends came to me and they're like, have you noticed this? Like, are you really sure? And that was a nice kind of support system for me because it made me feel like people were looking out for me, you know, helping me critically think through that situation. But having a support system of friends who kind of helped me through that was really amazing.
That's great. No, I actually had that when I was in college. I had a similar situation where my friends were like, I don't know, Amy. Like, I don't know. And I mean, this isn't really helpful if you're still looking to find somebody, but I've been with my husband since we were 20. So, you know, we've been together since college, and it's been 25 years this August that we've been together. So, figure that out from there. But like, it was so weird because I had a couple serious relationships before him. And like, there was always drama and there was always something that was like not right. And he and I started dating, and I was like, whoa, this is so relaxed and it's wonderful. And he's like my best friend still. We actually run the practice together, we run our other business together. Like, and I know that that's not typical. Like, I know he and I are like, it's a special thing. We still have our autonomy and do our own things, and it's great. I think that for me, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so easy. And I think that that's a way too that you know a relationship is good. You have good communication and it doesn't feel like work. I think that's true for friendships too. When you, and there was a question that you had asked when I was looking over, is like, you know, if it feels like it's a lot of work to keep that person happy in the friendship and it's affecting your level of joy, then that's kind of a sign too of like, should I still be doing this? I don't know.
Yeah. One of my good friends once told me, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. And I think that goes with what you're saying about you and your husband's relationship being easy. Like, if it's the right person, it never feels like trudging through the entire relationship. It's just completely easy.
Yeah, 100%. And it doesn't mean that it's always easy. You know, there's stuff in life that's hard, but still, like, you get through it, and it's much easier to get through it, I think, too, in that circumstance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to take a short break, but don't go
Okay.
anywhere. More questions are coming your way. I'm Grace Mansfield, and you're listening to 20s Toolbox here on WDIY. This month, we're joined by Dr. Amy Siborski to dive into all things relationships in your 20s. Stay tuned.
WDIY has been broadcasting in the Lehigh Valley and beyond for 30 years, providing news.
These planes were hijacked.
The Bethlehem Steel Corporation will end its steelmaking production in Bethlehem.
We hope that you enjoyed hearing from the Dalai Lama.
Local public affairs.
As I say, it's a race of interest.
What we're experiencing today will later on be studied.
And music.
My name is Janice Ian.
Our guest, Lake Street Dive.
In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Petey Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
WDIY, since 1995.
Welcome back to 20s Toolbox. I've been talking with Amy Siborski about the burning questions young adults may have about their relationships. Let's jump right back in. I know for me, when I came to college, I lost a couple friends just because everybody went different places. I know some people went to California. You know, I came to Scranton, like we just all branched out. So I guess something that I've been wondering is, Is it okay to outgrow certain friendships in this area of your life? And conversely, how do you really make new friends as an adult in this new area of life? You know, whether you're a college student and you're joining all these new clubs and activities, or maybe you're at work and you're trying to find like your work friends.
So I think, you know, it's definitely okay to outgrow certain friendships. I think it's just something that happens naturally when you move on from high school. And even to some extent, when you move on from college, that does change. Now, I know for me and for a lot of people that I know that I've worked with professionally and personally, the college friendships always seem to really endure, like those really close ones. I think because you live with someone so closely for your 4 years and you're spending so much time with them, that it's just a little bit different. Whereas in high school, I think you go in different directions and you're still forming your personality and your identity. And I think so sometimes that's why it's a little bit different. But I think I was actually like trying to think of how I wanted to answer this question. I was thinking about an article that I read a while ago. I found it today when I was thinking about this. And the quote that like always has stuck with me that I read a while ago was, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. I really identify with that because just as, you know, being where I'm at in my life, I'll be honest, I'm 44. I'm way past my 20s, but like I have people in my life that I've had in my life since I was 20s. I think like there are certain characteristics that, you know, we had common interests and things like that, and we've shared in a lot. And I think that that has kept our friendship solid. But, you know, that being said, I think, you know, you can lose touch with people for a while too, and then you find that you come back together. And that certainly happens for a lot of people. Like you grow up, you move away for a while, and then maybe when you are back home or visiting, you get back in touch with people. And I think friendships can come and go, or they can grow as you go through life. And I think you can kind of look at them. And if you do lose a friendship, you look at it and be like, okay, well, what did that bring to life for me? How can I frame this in a positive way, even though I'm not in that relationship with that person anymore? You also asked about making new friends as an adult. This is a tricky one because in college, it's like almost like you move into a dorm and you have like a hallway of people that you hopefully get along with. And, you know, there's so many ways, I think, to make friends in college. It's a much more, I don't want to say it's artificial. It's like a testing ground where you're like, it's just so much easier. And I think when you graduate, and hopefully, you know, you keep a lot of those friendships as you go, but it does become a little bit more challenging. And I think one of the ways that I encourage people that I see as clients to find new friendships, you know, we talk about, and of course you have work friends. Sometimes it happens naturally when you're at work and meeting people. But if you don't have that, if you do have specific interests or hobbies, trying to find ways to engage in them as an adult, I think there's a lot of different ways you can do that now where, like, for example, I know like there's different places where you can play sports you played maybe in high school, but it's a little bit more casual. Like there's meetup groups and things like that. And with social media, I think there's like special interest groups all over the place that you can join and meet people that way. Groups of people that go out to dinner and, you know, networking events. So I think those are all good things. I really think if you're looking for more social connections, you got to put yourself out there. Is it's not like college where you kind of have the friends come to you and they're just there. You have to kind of go out a little bit more and experience life a little bit more.
Yeah, I feel like even though some might say social media has brought us a lot of negative consequences, it's been positive to be able to connect with people. Like I have friends from different states and you can message that way back too. So that's great. Kind of staying on the topic of losing touch, for people who may be scared about losing touch with friends after, I don't know, some big life changes, maybe you move, you're going to college, you got a new job. What kind of advice would you give to people who might be scared to lose those friendships?
I always say to try the best you can to live in the moment with what you have in that moment with your friends. If you can find ways to enrich your relationships as much as possible, like finding times to get together with them. And, you know, if it's somebody that lives in a different state, like finding ways that you can connect, like maybe you have like a FaceTime call or something like that every few weeks so that you can touch base. I think when you really like when you and that friend both feel like you don't want to lose each other, it, you know, I think it's a lot easier to stay connected. One of the other things that I always say to people too, that I think is a really big one is like, if you are going to see that friend or you are doing like a FaceTime with them or something like that, when you're about to end that visit or that call or anything like that, schedule your next one. Make sure that you have something planned because it is so easy, especially as you move into adulthood, to be like, oh, when can you do something? Oh, well, we'll get in touch. We'll get in touch. And then like 6 months go by and you're like, oh, well, where's this person? And so I make it a point. That's something I tell clients to do. I tell family members to do. My friends and I do it. Like we try really hard to make sure we have something that's coming up. So like, we're like, okay, even like local friends that I could easily see, we're like, okay, let's make sure we have something on the books so that we know that it's going to be easy to connect again. I think, again, it's an easy thing when it's a friend that's going to be there for a lifetime. Finding those ways to connect with each other is much easier. And also, like, you know, like you're going to have people you message with every day and stuff like that. I think back to when I was in college and young adulthood, like I didn't have a cell phone until I was a senior in college and it had prepaid minutes. If those were out, I couldn't talk to anybody. Technology, you know, and social media can be, yes, it can be problematic. There are some negative things. I have some of the relationships I have because it exists. I met a whole bunch of friends during the pandemic that are all therapists. We met on Twitter, which none of us are on that anymore, but we have a different app we use. We talk to each other every single day. We've not met in person. We've done some Zoom calls and stuff. We are very close. We've been talking for 5 years now, but it's because we all want to stay connected with each other and we found value in it. And I think if you find value in a relationship, you're going to keep that relationship going for as long as possible.
Yeah, I will admit, one of my best friends, he goes to a different college. We do the same thing. We're like, well, we'll get together during Christmas when we're off or during Thanksgiving. It never really happens. So I should probably get better at that. It's something that I'm working on.
It's definitely like harder than it sounds too. Like it should just be easy, but and we are also busy as a college student. You're nonstop. Like when we're not with that person or seeing them constantly, it's not that we forget them. We love them and we don't want to forget them. But at the same time, we're so busy and going so fast all the time, I think, especially post-pandemic. I feel like it got even harder, just everybody going so fast once we were able to do that. You know, making the plan in advance is always a good thing. Text him some dates tonight. Be like, hey, these are the times I can get together the next time I'm home. Are you going to be around? And see what happens.
Yeah, just initiate that and get it on the calendar. So we've had such a great conversation, kind of all bringing this to a head. How can young adults know that they're really prioritizing the right relationships in their life?
So I think that, again, like if you are in a relationship and it feels like it is hard, I think back to the friendships I had as a young adult in college. And like some of the things I see with clients now and everything like that, you know, if you are putting a lot of energy into the friendship and the other person isn't, then you know that that relationship is not stable and you need to maybe think about how you're going to change it. Is it going to be through communicating with somebody and like telling them how you're feeling? Is it going to be through moving away from them, putting some separation there? If it's causing you to have stress and it's causing you to feel not good, like for whatever reason, then you kind of know like it's not a good relationship to prioritize. I know I had friendships in college that like have endured. I mentioned my roommate. I have another person who I lived with her my freshman year. The three of us are still like best friends. And again, it was never hard to be friends with them. It's still not hard to be friends with them. We don't get to see each other as much as we'd like, but it's still enduring. And we had some other friends where it was like, oh my gosh, can you believe how hard it is? There's always drama or something going on. And I think like, it should be easy. And whenever you get together with them, it's always the same. There's never like craziness. You know, it's more of a feeling than a say, like something to say. Like, you know it when you're with them. Like, this is good. I'm comfortable. I could tell this person anything. I can go to them if I need something. I know they can come to me. And it feels good. And if it doesn't feel that way, then you have to think about it a little bit.
Right. So this last question, I have to be honest, this has been like the question I've been dying to ask. How can people be at peace with just kind of being single and focusing on yourself? Is that okay? Or should you really be seeking out a relationship in your 20s?
I think that, and I actually think there's a trend of this with a lot of people I see in their young adulthood and college age of almost dating yourself, trying to figure out exactly what you like and what you want. And, you know, and I think that that's definitely an okay thing. It's good to know about yourself. It's good to know what you're going to be looking for in a relationship. If you really feel like you want that connection with another person and you want to be in a relationship with them, then by all means, be looking, be dating, try to find somebody. But at the same regard, like knowing who you are and knowing what you want and where you're going, I think is a really important thing first, because it will help you kind of know you know, how to put boundaries down with people, how to communicate the things that you need to tell people that are important for you. And so I think those are some key pieces before getting into like a serious relationship is really knowing you. And that's hard when you're in college. You're still trying to figure it all out. It's hard when you're a young adult. Like, I don't think I really knew who I was until I was like maybe later 20s. I don't know. I was in grad school for a really long time. I didn't finish grad school till I was 28. There's a lot of soul searching that you're doing where you're just like, okay, you know, you're focusing on so much in college. Like, what is my career going to be after this? Where do I see myself going? And I think if you can figure out some of those things, then, you know, look for that relationship, but also don't be afraid to be on your own and be comfortable with that, because there's going to be a person out there for you that respects you and that you can have good communication with and good boundaries with. And like, you deserve that. And I think it's really important to look for that in a relationship and not just date people because other people are dating people, or I don't know. And some of those apps are scary. I heard that with guys holding the big fish is out now, and it's more like rock climbing is the thing. So I don't know. Like, I think those are also warning signs. Maybe I'm kidding. I don't know. But, you know, I think trying to figure out what you want is really important before you dive in too.
Yeah, knowing yourself first. I'll have to keep that in mind. Well, Amy, thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. I've had so much fun. As we wrap up today, there is one more question I want to ask you that I ask all of my guests. Reflecting on your career, what's kind of the best advice you've ever received, and would you be able to share that? It could be about anything.
Yeah, I actually think, I don't know, that got me choked up for a second. What the heck? So I said before that I was faculty at DeSales, and I also went to DeSales undergrad. And the motto has changed over the years of like what they put out there, like, and I'm sure some of it is, you know, recruitment for students and stuff, and this is what you want. But like, there's a saying, and I'm not even remotely religious. It's a Catholic university. I don't identify with that at this point, but St. Francis de Sales said, "Be who you are and be that well." And like, I don't know what it is about that quote, but like, I always feel like if you feel like you are comfortable and confident in who you are and you feel like you're doing something good for the world because you're yourself, I think that is a very important thing. And I have made it a goal in my life, really, you know, as a psychologist and as, you know, an owner, a business owner for the community center, is like, I really want to put out there that, you know, it's okay to be you. It's okay to put out there who you are, even if some people don't like it, and that's okay. And I think if you can show that to other people too, it will help them be more confident in who they are as well. So I'm not sure that answered your question. I rambled a little bit, but.
Oh, it's perfect. I love that. I love that so much. I think if a lot of people, myself included, felt more confident in themselves, I think the world would be a very different place in a very good way.
Me
So
too.
I hope you all enjoyed this month's episode of 20s Toolbox. I had so much fun talking to you, Amy. Thanks again for coming on the show. To my listeners, I hope that you all feel the love, not just on Valentine's Day, but every day. And just know that other people are wondering and struggling about the same things that you are, so don't be afraid to reach out. Thanks again for joining me tonight. I've been talking with Dr. Amy Siborski, licensed psychologist and the director of Lehigh Valley Center for Child and Family Development, all about relationships. I'll see you all next time. Have a good night, everyone.